To send a ship across an ocean to get the answer for you. It's so close to you in verse 14 that it's actually, the option is within you already. Isn't that incredible? Isn't it amazing that the answer for the option to choose life is within us already. It's nigh unto thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, I don't know how to choose right. I'm confused. Really. The option to choose well is one that God puts forth only that algebra students can figure out. Well, not that I know of. I find in my own life that when I claim being confused, it's an entertained confusion. It's an invited confusion. It is, when we were children, we called it acting dumb. And we picked it out in each other pretty easily. And we knew how to do it ourselves. Have you ever lost track of how to act dumb? Act ignorant? Well, I just didn't know. I don't know what you're talking about. We're dealing with a present-day choice that God, in his sovereignty and with the power of his Holy Spirit, presents to every man, and he knows when it comes. It's the incredible power of the Spirit to speak into a person's life and say, Dwayne, here's how you ought to do it. It's phenomenal. We don't have any other power. We go looking for power. We get in good preachers. We invite wise counselors. We invite 12-step programs into our lives. And there's people that have received help from that. But I'm just simply saying that when God gives a man a choice, and he does, it comes into him by the aid of the Holy Spirit. And the potency behind that is something you've never seen anywhere else. And so when we are called today to choose life, it's something that you can't simply say, well, I just don't know. I know that there are people that need to be taught the gospel so that they can comprehend it and receive it. But that's not the people I'm talking about. I'm talking about our own world that we live in, where we play this game and say, well, I just don't understand. And we've had doctrine and we've had gospel as part of our diet for most of our days. We're a different kind of people in that regard. The third thing I want to point out about choosing life is probably the central part of the meditation this morning, and that is the calling to choose life is a present tense calling. I didn't read the whole chapter, but I did go through in my study and read it, and there are 7 times where Moses said a phrase, this day, this day, this day, this day. I don't know how to explain this, because I'm trying to explain a sovereign, eternal God. But there's something, an odd conclusion that I've come to in my study of the Almighty, and that is that he pretty much exists only in the present. We say that when he helped the Israelites through the Red Sea, he was there. And the calendar is God's gift to man. Not because he does not move through time. He exceeds time. That's why when he said to Moses, I am that I am, it was all present tense. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. Whenever divinity speaks of themselves, it's always present tense. And I think it's because they are only in the present. And so if we're going to follow God, we have to see it as a present reality experience. It's not something I say, well, next year I'm going to work more on doing this. But rather it is, I see a need in my life and I'm changing today. Because we are relating to an eternal God who exists only in the present. In my little mind, maybe that's the problem. My brain is too compact, too constricted. The only way you can have eternity is if presence is stuck. You can't move into the future because now you're moving through a sequence. You can't back up into the past because now you're backing up in the sequence. You have to stay in the present so that it can be without beginning or ending. If it doesn't make any sense, we'll go on to the next point. It's my little way of trying to... But My burden this morning is that we understand that this is the day we choose. 2 Corinthians 6:2, today is the day of salvation. You've heard preachers say that. It's used in evangelistic messages. If you've never given your heart to Jesus and let him be your personal savior, today is the day. Well, that is true. And that we rejoice when people make that choice. We look back at our own day of choice. But did that take care of everything for the rest of time? Well, no, of course not. And we even understand that from our own perspective. And so there is a choosing Christ, a choosing of life to these Old Testament Jews, a choosing, today I will obey again the commands of Jesus, the law. We've always had an uneasy relationship with law. We don't like it. We wish it wasn't part of us. But it's our good reality. And Christ fulfills the law, and then he says, now put your trust in me. And today, every one of us this morning, it's one of the reasons why, as brothers and sisters, we encourage and exhort each other. Read your Bible. Get in the Word. Get your food. Revive that relationship with Jesus Christ today, because today is when you're going to live with him. Not yesterday or tomorrow, but today. And you know, there are different ways of looking at it. One of my coworkers told me last week, he was in a VS program, and he said the administrator of there would have accountability meetings, and he would ask the young men, did you read your Bible today? And he says, listen, where I come from, the farmers never looked at milking cows as something they'll do if it works. But the cows had to be milked. That's where we get our paycheck from. I mean, where do you expect to get a paycheck if you don't go milk the cows? And he said, why don't you start looking at your communion with God that way? Where do you expect to get your paycheck if you don't go milk the cows? Well, that's really temporal, but it made me chuckle. But you know what? It stuck in that young man's mind. He said it got to the place where he hardly can come to work in the morning if he hasn't taken care of that little wonderful present day step of reading the Word and talking with God. One of the reasons why I am stressing that we need to live in the reality of choosing today is because I know how I work. I had a moment of truth last night. I was fishing through my computer for another sermon that I knew I had put a quote in. I wanted that quote. And what I came across before I found the quote was this little document that I wrote up 2 years ago and about a day or two beyond that. And it was my life goals for 2012. And I read over it, and first I was shocked, and then I was embarrassed, and then I was a little depressed. Because of this 5 things on that paper, 2 years later, I have not accomplished any of them. I'm not preaching at you this morning. This is a personal sermon. You know, I learned a long time ago that what I don't do today, I can't expect to do tomorrow. And that's whether it's visiting the neighbor, losing weight, or speaking nice to your children. What I cannot do today, I cannot expect to do tomorrow. That we live in the present. Every time you make a choice, you're turning the central part of you, the part of you that chooses, into something a little different than it was before. And taking your life as a whole with all your innumerable choices, all your life long, you're slowly turning the central thing into a heavenly creature or a hellish creature, either into a creature that is in harmony with God and with other creatures and with itself, or else into one that is in a state of war and hatred with God and with other fellow creatures and with itself. To be the one kind of creature is heaven. That is, it is joy and peace and knowledge and power. To be the other means madness, horror, idiocy, rage, impotence, and eternal loneliness. Each one of us at each moment is progressing to the one state or the other. That's the quote I was looking for when I found the little points. But what this writer is saying is, look, what you choose today sets your feet. What you choose today cements it. And I'm beginning to see this. Not long ago, I was with another group of ministry, and the thought was given that when it comes to church leadership, there is more, no matter what the subject is, there is more hope, more enjoyment, more pleasure in helping a youth through a very dear struggle than trying to help a grandpa through the same one. And we know why that is. We know that the window of change is closing down. And one of the biggest lies we tell ourselves is that we'll change at the end. And it's not true. This writer is saying, look, you're progressing. There's a reason that Jesus, when he came to the Pharisees, John 9:39, he said some startling words to them. And it appears to have gone right over their heads, but they apply to us today. John 9:39, after he healed the blind man, and there was a big old ruckus that came out of it, and they threw the young man out of the synagogue. Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which might see might be made blind." And what Jesus is saying here is when I came, you see, something was happening here that had never happened before, and that is God in the flesh was walking among people, and he would do things that they had never seen before. Even the blind man said, "Well, this is a wonder. You Pharisees, never in the history of time has a man born blind been made to see him. Never. And you don't know where this power comes from?" Well, the reason they didn't know where the power had come from is because they had worked themselves, choice by choice, into an intellectual set concrete that they could not receive the Messiah. They were very much alive. Could they repent? Nicodemus appears to. Joseph of Arimathea appears to. But for the most part, they chose again and again, "We are the seed of Abraham. This man's an imposter." And when it was come to its fullness, they crucified him. They killed him because of the choices they made every day. When truth came right into their presence, and Jesus says, "This is how I operate." Do you understand that Jesus is doing the same thing to you and I today? He is forcing Dwayne and everybody else in this room to either have the scales come off their eyes and see, or whatever sight they had is dimming down into a blindness they will not recover from. And when we get to the judgment, one of the last words of Scripture is, "He that is, let him be. He that is, let him be. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. I believe in progressive sanctification. I believe in choice by choice becoming more perfectly into the image of Christ. I also believe in progressive condemnation, where you can choose blessing or cursing. You can choose the God of heaven or you can choose the God of this earth. How do I look? What is my image? What do people think of me? I wonder what they're saying now. I hope they're okay. Well, I kind of messed that one up. That's another God. And we are either, that's what this writer is saying, our choice, you know, and it's something, I don't know if I should say this or under the next one. A number of years ago, we had a topic at Bible school. A young man, wasn't one of the students, was probably the youngest teacher that year, but he had a morning topic on habits and how they shape us and how young people ought to be very, very careful to think about their everyday choices today. And then he made this statement that has always stuck with me, and I've been watching it. I did it again this winter, and as far as I can tell, he's 100% right. He says that when you go into old people's homes, there's only two kinds of people there. There's the grouchy and the bitter, and there's the sweet and the smiling. And you don't find anybody in between. And that is because you go through life looking as it's not giving me what I want. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to get the next windfall. And you chase that and you chase that until you become an old man or an old woman. And then you start to feel, if it hasn't happened long before that, you start to feel this bitterness of soul coming in. And you can't even decide if it's hot enough or cold enough in a room without sounding like a crabby old person. But you know what? That's exactly what they grew into. And you can go through life saying, life doesn't owe me everything. I will be addicted to the ministry of the saints. And you get to, after a while, you're just a shriveled old man in a wheelchair. And here comes a young person, and they want to talk. And you just talk, and you tell stories, and you dispense wisdom, and just a pleasant person to be around. This is the progressive sanctification or the progressive condemnation that comes into our lives if we do not choose life right now. And that's why it's so critical. Number four, the calling to choose life is a visible choice. He says in verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. What are heaven and earth supposed to do with what they're looking at? I suppose you could say, well, in heaven, the angels bear record. As I pondered over this unique statement that Moses made to the children of Israel, I'll call heaven and earth to mark what I've told you and to see your choice, I began to realize that what Dwayne chooses is really not all that hidden. We have this dynamic about our lives that we pay a lot of attention to, but in reality, we're not quite sure what to do with it, and it's called our reputation. How much should I believe the reputation you have? How accurate is it? Ask 50 people, you get 50 answers. If the reputation is bad and I don't like it, then what I usually say is something like this. Well, you have to understand that so-and-so has it in for me. He never could say a nice word about me. If it's too nice and we think it's too nice, we'll say, well, they flatter a lot. You don't put any stock in what that sounded too nice. Well, we don't usually say that. But all I'm telling you is that Moses brings into this whole reality of choosing life today the fact that heaven and earth can watch what you're going to do. And I've come to the place, I may move off of this spot because I've had my shifty times in my thinking as well. But I've come to the place where when I want to learn to know somebody, there's two things I will do. One is I will try to do something with that person, interact with them, it doesn't happen very often, get in their home, sit with them. But the other thing I do is I just start listening. Start listening. Don't say anything, just listen. Watch and listen, like heaven and earth would do. You watch and you listen. That's what a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. It's talking about reputation. It's talking about what does the world testify? Every one of you this morning has made a decision on what you think of our president. Now, it might be depending on what news site you feed off of or which restaurant bar table you listen at. There's a lot of different ways you can get that information. But there is very little that President Obama can do with what you think of him. Heaven and earth comes to mind. And I just want us to know that when people start playing our reputation back to us, listen to them. There's a sense in which it could drive you crazy if you put too much energy into it. But the other reality is that when people start to play, particularly those that we knew beforehand actually cared about us, listen to them. It's heaven and earth bearing record of what you've chosen. I know what the struggle feels like. No, wait a minute. You don't remember. Now, let's talk about this. Let's get the whole story here out on the table. Why? Why? Why do you want the whole story out? Well, because we're not comfortable with what we're hearing. We're not ready to accept what we're hearing. And we can talk ourselves into the reality that person has a problem with me. But look at your own life. None of us ever woke up one morning and said, I think I'm going to just have it in for Ernest from now on. Where shall I start? Well, I'll go spend some time. I'll find something. This ain't all that hard. Nobody operates on those platforms. But rather, they listen just like heaven and earth does. And they watch, they weigh, they hear, they see, and it starts to form. Ah, that's who Dwayne is. This is where, yeah, he does go deer hunting. I mean, that's where I talked to him. He was sitting out in the stand. There's nothing I can do about that. It's the way it is. What I mean by nothing I can do about it, as in the sense of how you process it. I suppose I could always lay on my recliner. Then when you called me, I'd say, well, I'm laying on my recliner. Then you know I don't deer hunt anymore. But you probably have, if you had a problem with my deer hunting, you probably have a problem with me laying on the recliner every time I call. This thing of reputation is delicate, but it's true. It is something that we listen and watch. It helps us understand whether we're choosing life or whether we're choosing death, blessing or cursing. Last point I want to make from this passage when it comes to choosing life is that the calling to choose life activates the care and leading of God. Verse 20. If you choose, your seed will live, and you'll love the Lord. You'll cleave unto him. Maybe I should read verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate them which persecuted thee, and they shall return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand and in the fruit of thy body and in the fruit of thy cattle and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments, his statutes, which are written upon this book of the law. And if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Do you see this dynamic? If you turn to me, I will circumcise your heart. That was a physical cutting, a physical ceremony, but it was a mark placed upon the individual, the male, that this is one of God's. This is one of God's people. But that was only the beginning. This set the stage for a lifestyle of interaction. The God of heaven blessing the obedient people on earth. He says that he will do numbers of things. And we believe in the new covenant that the blessing of the Lord is not as much temporal as it is spiritual. It doesn't do so much for the kingdom of earth as it does the kingdom of heaven in our dispensation of grace. But it's still the same in that when we turn, you see, salvation has two aspects to it. It's the part where Dwayne chooses to die, and it's the part where Christ comes alive in him. And neither one can do anything without the other. There is no new life in Christ without the surrender and the crucifying of Dwayne by Dwayne's hand. And that's why brokenness is so much a part of choosing life. But here's the interesting thing. Where does God take us from there? If you want to have something enjoyable, get some first, second, third graders to write down a piece of paper what they want to be when they are big. And just stick that away in a box, a shoe box, a closet, a photo album, whatever. And whip it out 50 years later and match it up to the people. How many of them happen? I don't know if one from every classroom happens or not, but that's about the highest it'll get. See, the ways of the Lord are much higher than our ways. And so if Dwayne plans his life, and God, whose ways are much higher than Dwayne's ways, plans Dwayne's life, you can expect they're not going to go the same place. Do not be surprised if in the circumcision of your heart, in this new covenant, God takes you where you never thought you would go. It's to be expected when his ways, Isaiah 55, verse 5, when his ways are much higher than our ways and his thoughts are much, it's to be expected. There's no way that I, Dwayne, could comprehend what God had in mind for me. And again, brokenness is so key. I surrender all. Living in the present, surrender. We start putting down at least the backs of our heels and say, not so fast, God, not so fast. Where do you think you're going? This isn't what I had in mind. Well, that's all right, but you crucified what you had in mind, didn't you? Oh, these are harsh things to think over, but I know what they feel like. But my point is that when you choose life, you are putting yourself in the hands of a benevolent God. And that is a far cry from trying to figure out what's safe for me. Because the majesty and the dominion of God is so great. I can only exhort each one of us to do it and then later rejoice. We have so many ways. I told one of my friends this week, I used to believe that the right way to live the Christian life was to be born and raised and die where you were planted. And I said, I gave that up for a couple of reasons. Number one, it didn't work out in my own life. And number two, it just doesn't really seem like a profitable way. There are people that happens to. The old minister from the Shirksville congregation moved there in 1944, died in 2003, and was buried under where the old pulpit of the church was. What is that? 50-some years. Basically all his adult life, he went one place to church, has a tremendous testimony of faithfulness. The records will show that him and his wife did not miss a service in, 19 months? Whenever the church was open, they were there. God bless him for his faithfulness. It was an anchor to us young people. We looked at old Brother Raymond and he was our rock. That's not all of our story. We don't know what our story is. The choice to choose life activates the care of God. So how do I choose life? In a very practical sense, I'll give you 3 points. And you can see these as a pattern that would have helped the children of Israel. Number one, always choose gratitude. Choose to be thankful. Moses was talking to a group of people that got a daily miracle dumped at their tent flaps. You know what it was? Every morning, breakfast was waiting for them. There's not a soul here this morning that has gotten that kind of care. 40-plus years, breakfast at the door waiting for you. 40 years. Million-plus people, breakfast waiting at the door. How did it happen? Well, the dew came up, and when the sun shined on it, turned into food. And they hated it. They hated it. Manna is the type of New Testament grace. It expires with the sunset and is given afresh with the sunrise. Study it sometimes. There's so many beautiful types in manna. And all they would have to do is wake up in the morning and say, "Thank you, God, breakfast again." And it would have changed their course. It's a daily choice they could make. Ingratitude sets the stage for cursing. I choose brokenness. These people, some of them decided to stay in the wilderness. Some decided to go ahead to Canaan. And it gave its own chaos down the road. If they would have all just went across Jordan, the story would be different. I can't even tell you how. I just know it would. But this whole thing of surrendering my life to the plans of the Almighty is one that I feel I have to choose almost daily. Maybe I'm the only one in the whole Blair, Huntington County circle, and if it doesn't apply to you, you can think about something else. But I just know that I have time limits set on God, and that is, I'll accept so much from Him, and then it's about enough. But again and again, I have to go back to my own Gethsemane and say, "Not my will, but thine be done." And this is what sets the stage for choosing life. Maybe you don't know how to apply it to your own life. May the Spirit give you wisdom. Last of all, do choose to trust in God. This is where the children of Israel again fell down. When you stop and think about the reality of people who have been given so much, miracle after miracle, their clothes didn't wear out. For the whole time, they had the same pair of shoes. I know that's boring. Kohl's would go out of business, at least their shoe department. But this is the care of God. This is why you can trust Him. Because He will meet our needs. And we must to choose life, you must trust Him. I will never choose life. I will never choose to obey if I have my suspicions that God has it in for this person. Or that He's just not as nice to me as He is to other people. But I simply have to trust in Him. He knows the way that I take, and it's going to be good, and I will trust Him. Thanksgiving, submission, surrender, and trust, I think, are 3 tools that will help us to choose life. Well, may the Lord bless you as you apply Deuteronomy 30 to your own life. There's another year, unless He comes back this afternoon. We did read that in the Sunday school lesson. Maranatha, come on back, Lord Jesus. I think living in the present of eternity, I think that's how it's going to be. There's not going to be any measurement of time. It's just present all the time, present existence. But that's to look forward to. For now, we're counting the days We're having birthdays, babies are being born, and people are dying. We're getting choices. Young people grow up, they have to decide if they're going to be materialistic or if they're going to be givers or if they're going to be, oh, what are all the ways we have to choose? You know how it is. So choose life. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, thank you for the Bible, which gives us a roadmap for life. Thank you for the Bible, which helps us to understand who you are and what our responsibilities are in life. Father, as we have thought about this very key part of living, our calling, our opportunity, our responsibility to choose life, help us to apply this personally to our own lives. We know that the church will only survive as people are willing to choose life on a personal basis and on a communal basis as well. And so we look for you. We ask for your Spirit to work in our hearts to show us the choices that we need to make today that will help us look back on the coming year with pleasure and not regret. Bless this congregation. We pray a special blessing on Brother Llewellyn and Sister Ashley as they have taken this step to be part of the congregation here. Father, meld them into this body. Help them to find their place and to be able to fill it. And bless the other members as well as they receive them. Help us to all bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now keep us in your care. Bless those who are traveling. We know that the highways and the airways can be dangerous. We commit all these things to you, O Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.